And that was Imogen Fuchs with that report from Geneva. And we're joined now by Stephen Sesh, who was the US ambassador to Yemen between 2007 and 2010, and is the executive vice president of the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. I don't know, Ambassador, how you explain the lack of aid, but do you think people just feel that even if aid is given, it won't solve so many of Yemen's big problems?
Well, there certainly is a problem with distribution of aid in Yemen. There's also a severe problem of trying to just get aid into the country now. And Yemen imports 90% of all of its food, and 70% of that assistance in food comes through the port of the Red Sea port of Hodeidah, which has been pretty much knocked out of circulation because of the air war that Saudi Arabia has been conducting and the fact that the Houthis now have seized control of the city. So there's a lot of obstacles in the way of building confidence on the part of the international community that they can get aid effectively into the most needy parts of the population in Yemen.
And longer term, is it a country that will always need aid? You know, it's running out of water, running out of oil, running out of revenue. Even if the war was resolved, there would still be a need for aid, maybe?
I think there's certainly going to be a long-term need for the international community to involve itself in a very material way in Yemen's rehabilitation, recovery, and reconstruction. And this is going to take a commitment that's not just going to be, let's go in and do it in a couple of years. It's going to be a sustained generational effort. Or otherwise, you're right, Yemen is going to be looking for international assistance for an extended period of time if we can't get in, stop this war, and start to put the pieces back together again as quickly as possible.
And there is this very troubling disparity between the amount of money spent on weapons that are dropped on Yemen and the amount of aid that's provided.
Well, it's pretty appalling at the moment to see the outlays of the world's most wealthy nations being spent on precision-guided munitions and other material that we see being used every day in the conduct of this war, and not focusing the parties in the conflict the way we need to be. We need to push them to the table now and have them with the same level of commitment to finding a solution as they seem to bring to the table to finding an advantage on the battlefield.
But to be honest, that's not even in sight, is it? I mean, no one's really thinking that's remotely possible.
Well, people are thinking about this, but you're right. It's not a real possibility right now. But I do think that, again, if the United States seems to be developing a stronger relationship with Saudi Arabia, this can be a very good and useful relationship for us to be able to apply some pressure very quietly on the Saudis to begin to think about ways out of here. And also the Houthis need to be brought to the table. And everyone needs to step back a little bit and say, what can we accept and still claim some level of victory?
To tell us about the violent jihadis in Yemen. They're quite strong there, right?
Well, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is the Yemen-based franchise of the international organization, has been very strong, and it's metastasized ever since the Saudi invasion began, the Saudi airstrikes began in 2015, because, frankly, the focus has been so uniquely on the Houthis and on Iran, which is supposed to be the Houthis at the tip of the Iranian spear, that the al-Qaeda group has been allowed to just basically go and act with impunity in parts of Yemen, which is largely ungoverned territory anyway. They took over McCullah, a large seaport in governorate of Hadramaut, and they basically ran that for almost a year until they were dislodged by Emirati and U.S. and Yemeni forces. So, yes, this is a serious risk to the international community that an international terrorist organization is allowed to basically operate without being pushed hard back into a hole, and that's what the U.S. is trying to do, but it's episodic and intermittent.
Right. So if the U.S. top priority is, and presumably it is, to tackle al-Qaeda when it comes to Yemen, yeah, that's nowhere near happening.
No, this is still basically whack-a-mole. And I think that what we're looking at are, again, airstrikes, drone strikes that seem to be targeting operatives, fighters. I'm not even sure at what level of the organization these fighters exist. So the effectiveness is still an open question to a lot of people who are looking, just in wondering if this is going to have any long-term effect whatsoever.
Right. And the aid conference, are they going to get any money?
Well, I think they will get money. But again, the problem is, what do you do when you get the money? You know, and the World Bank's doing a lot of good work right now trying to figure out how to get into conflict zones with that money and actually put assistance on the ground. So I hope that we can see this as a way to begin to think about how do we operate in these most non-permissive areas of the world. Conflict is the rule, but the need is so great that you have to be able to work in these non-permissive environments and get assistance in and get it in there effectively.
Stephen Sesh, thank you so much for your analysis of what's going on in Yemen.